Well, our special guest tonight, Frank Hoff, will be back with him in a moment as we talk about Atlantis, claiming it is in the South China Sea. This is an incredible story. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Frank, so what made you accept Professor Santos's theories?
Well, it's my many conversations with him, but the most important thing is he was doing it really from a scientific standpoint, and he reverse engineered it back there. And it made actually logical sense. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing, is that looking at the science and the history and the logic behind it, that to me was different than anybody else. Plus, I got to tell you, his background is actually phenomenal. Up on our website, and I need to mention a couple of things here.
And this is the one, atlan.org?
Yeah, our website is www.atlan.org. In other words, www, the first five letters of Atlantis, atlan.org, and that's the professor's website. And what I would do is I would highly suggest that people take a look under his resume that's up on there and see all the different things that he was into.
Oh, he's got credentials, I'll tell you.
And I think it'd probably take you 15 minutes to read this off. You know, he sat on all sorts of boards and committees for energy policy throughout Brazil. And the reason he did that is because he is highly responsible for the alcohol fuels program down in Brazil called Alcool.
Hmm.
And not only that, but I actually made a trip down to Brazil in order to get the books. You remember, I was at the Bay Area UFO conference a couple years ago.
Yes.
And spoke with you. Also,
yes, we met
in Seattle.
Them. Yep.
I gave you the copy of the book in Seattle.
Yep.
And
I told you we'd get you on eventually.
Yeah, and listen, George, I'm really sorry I had to turn you down, but I didn't have the books at the time.
Okay? I know that.
And that was the reason. And, yeah. Of course, you know, people are really mad at me. They just about threw me out of there with that because I didn't want to get on the radio show that, you know.
You may be the only one to turn us down because things weren't ready yet.
Yeah, and the reason I did that is because, you know, when you make these kind of claims, you have to have really extreme amount of hard scientific evidence. And I wanted to have that available to the public. And this is it here. Professor's book is called Atlantis, The Lost Continent Finally Found. And a subtitle to that is The Definitive Localization of Plato's Lost Civilization. It doesn't get any more clear than that, I don't think.
So if it is there, and let's go on all this assumption tonight that it is there, mm-hmm. near the South China Sea, in its continent size, did this thing, Frank, just plunge all at one time, or did it slowly sink? What happened to it?
All right. This is going back to your question about how many thousands of years old everything
okay.
is. Okay. Okay, what happened is that, first of all, and these names get kind of put onto things, even though they're not necessarily maybe the original names of the lost continent. The motherland, though, many people refer to it as Lemurian Atlantis. Okay.
Okay.
Or the motherland, and it comes from Mu. And there's a whole nother, we almost have to do another show on about the lemurs and how that name got stuck on there, okay, again, with regarding Atlantis. But anyhow, the motherland or the mother of civilization was Lemurian Atlantis. It actually, there was actually a Toba volcano that went off that caused its destruction about, pretty close to 75,000 BP.
Okay.
Okay, that's when it actually got destroyed. The civilization goes back further than that. But anyhow, what happened is that the Toba volcano, and this is scientifically documented, is probably the most powerful event ever to take place on this Earth. It was extremely powerful and really took out that whole, the continent of, let's say, Lemuria. At that time. But what happened is that over time, there was actually three different Atlantises. And this may be interesting to people. There's three different Atlantises, two main ones, and also, in a sense, a third one.
In the general same area?
In the general same area. In fact, actually, really the same area. And and that's another story, too. A Lemurian Atlantis was not in the central Pacific Ocean as we know it today. That was a falsehood. There was no land bridge going over that way. And so the professor also found this out, too. But going back to the Lemurian one, what happened is after the destruction from the Toba volcano, which, by the way, triggered on the Pleistocene Ice Age. Okay, it's one thing you found out.
It must have darkened the skies for years.
Well, they had a time to rebuild with 63,000 years to rebuild to the advanced civilization, Atlantis proper. And that ended up getting destroyed at 11,600 BP or before present.
Okay, so the first one, the big one, 75,000 BC, didn't wipe them all out then?
No, and also I got to tell you, and this will lead up to the third Atlantis, a lot of them, just like in, was it New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a diaspora or diaspora where people flee into different areas.
Sure.
Okay, like for instance, they went in down to Florida and Houston. Then people came up to Washington State here because of that.
Maybe Egypt?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, anything that kind of floods our people have to go. They also went over to Egypt. But where they really went, and this is what I'm trying to lead into, is that even from Lemurian Atlantis, they went into the Indus Valley area or the Indus Delta Valley area.
On that continent?
On India.
Okay. Oh, in India.
India,
okay.
Pakistan.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
The Indus Valley civilization there. And then, after 63,000 years, they end up rebuilding the Atlantis proper, the advanced civilization. I mean, let's think about this to put it in perspective. Look how far we've come in a couple of thousand years.
Oh, a dramatic. Or even 100 years, Frank.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, these guys were an advanced civilization. So what happened is that at 11,600 years ago, the Krakatoa volcano went off.
Okay.
All right. Did the same kind of thing. They're both calderas, like in Yellowstone National Park. Okay. So it went off, and it ended up actually like burning people besides causing the tsunami and the seismic activity and causing a wave go up. Now, we all saw this before our own eyes play out on December 26, 2004. And guess what? It was the same area.
Uh-huh.
It was actually Aceh or Banda Aceh, okay, in Indonesia. And also all the surrounding area of Indonesia, okay? And so this actually ends up being where Atlantis actually is, okay, at Indonesia.
So that's in the Ring of Fire.
It's in the Ring of Fire, one of the most volcanically active places in the entire world.
Makes sense.
All right. Now, so it goes off, and instead of sending up a wave of water just 15 meters high, it sent up a wave 1,500 meters high.
Can you imagine that coming at you?
Yeah.
You're gone.
And by the way, I'm going to show some of those pictures, photos of kind of like the tsunami effect that took place, in 2004. And it's really pretty amazing. And a way it took it out. But here's the rest of this. And this is answer to your previous question. It's not, and there was actually, this is known as the Great Deluge, okay? But it also got, there was a couple of different flooding actions. First of all, the initial flood that took out the entire continent, okay? Or what was left of it. And so what you actually see is that the mountaintops these days. And the reason you did is the initial flood that came in was like an optical illusion. It is not that Atlantis sunk. It was that sea levels rose.
Rose.
And rose not just once, but they rose initially the one time, okay?
The water went up. The continent didn't go down.
Right. And the 1,500 meter high wave came in. That took out pretty much a lot of the continent and drowned a lot of people, okay?
Sure.
But they also got burned first by the Krakatoa volcano.
God. Now, was anybody able to flee at that point?
They did. Some of them were able to flee, but I got to tell you that it was also known as the Day of the Dead, as is in the Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where they took out the highest loss of people on the face of this planet in the shortest amount of time and also the highest percentage.
And this was around 11,500 BC?
600, a BP.
Okay.
And that amount of people that was taken out, known as the Day of the Dead, was 20 million people approximately that perished in one day and a night. Okay?
All right.
It almost wiped out the population on Earth. But they went and fled like they did with the Lemurian into the Indus Valley area, and also because of the equatorial currents, they also were able to flee into Peru and Ecuador because the currents go directly in there. They were seafaring people. They know exactly they would take them into that area. And not only that, it was in the middle of the Pleistocene Ice Age still ending, and so the upper latitudes were covered with ice.
What kind of ships do you think they had, Frank, in order to flee?
They had enough vessels to get around as far as that goes. They may have been, whether they're made of reeds or whatever they may have been made of at that time, and I'd have to dig out some additional information that the different woods and things that they had to make the ships out of, but they definitely had them. They definitely could sail them, and they definitely knew where they understood the world ocean current.
Were they prepared for this, or did this come suddenly too?
Well, they were somewhat prepared, but I would say to a large degree it came kind of suddenly. It had to do also with the War of Atlantis, okay? By the way, when they went to the Indus Valley area, they also got flooded out of there because of natural glaciers and the flooding and the rains and everything else out around 3102 BCE, okay?
Now, what do you mean by BCE?
That's before Common Era.
Okay.
It's a little more politically correct, let's put it that way, okay?
Okay.
So I told you we're not going to be political about all this kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Anyhow.
What about technology at this time? What do you think they possessed?
They possessed technology. Well, actually, I could probably pull this out someplace here, maybe after the break. But it's actually where agriculture was invented. Okay. This is actually the cradle of civilization, not Sumeria.
Right. But I mean, do you think they had flying machines?
Possibly did had that, because when I was in Abydos, I saw the symbols on the wall there, and I know they actually migrated over to Sumeria and Egypt and other parts of Europe and so on. And so actually they're known as the great civilizers, the civilizing heroes. To the Mayans, which, by the way, the word in Mayan for Atlantis is Tolan, and also in T-O-L-L-A-N, and for Aztec, it's Aztlan, A-T-Z-L-A-N. So those are the words for it. Now, coming up in 2012, and a lot of people think the date is December 21st, it's the ending of the Mayan calendar. I guess to a large extent, people around the world are going to honor the Mayans. I mean, wouldn't you say that?
Sure.
If I were the Mayans, okay, what I would be honoring is the civilizing heroes, which is actually the Atlanteans. That's who they're going to be honoring, the Mayans, okay? So we may be honoring them, but I guarantee it, if they were alive at all, they would be honoring the civilizing heroes.
Okay, and now the 1,500-foot tsunami, that was what you would call the second Atlantis period, right?
Yeah, that was the second. So the third, in a sense, was when they had to move into the Indus Valley area as the Indus civilization. Which brings to mind something I was going to tell you that's really important, too. The professor was actually able to decode and figure out what the true language of the Atlanteans is, and that's what helped him encode it, because he actually could speak the actual Atlantean language, which was the pristine language of the entire Southeast Asia area. Okay? And that language is Dravida. It's Dravidian, and it was Proto-Dravida. That's what the actual language that they speak.
Now, how many people speak that now?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to get in touch with some people that actually may speak that language. But another language that's spoken in Southeast India is called Tamil. And that's a derivative or a derivation of Dravida. And also, so is Sanskrit, by the way.
So this is, if we were to hear these people talk, that's basically what the Atlanteans sounded like.
Exactly.
And fascinating.
I'm in touch with some people that can probably speak that language, or at least they know somebody that can, or get a hold of somebody. They speak some other, maybe later forms of Dravida or Tamil, and they're similar. And also, Professor, there's some words that, we could bring out, too, that are the actual Atlantean words as well. And we can make some comparisons to that for what they mean and so on and so on. So... this way, he was also helped to further decode it, because he was could actually speak the language and begin to decipher this whole area, which, by the way, is the Java Sea and the South China Sea, as you mentioned, and also the Sunda Strait and the Sunda Shelf and the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, all that area and the actual lost continent of Atlantis is actually Indonesia, or else the vestige of what's left of Atlantis, Indonesia. And by the way, I would like to make a press release on your show.
A press release?
Yes.
What, on what?
Well, I want to let you know that I'm also now president of Atlantis Publications, Inc., okay? It's the professor's naming of this particular, company that, and I incorporated here in the state of Washington to market his book, Atlantis, The Lost Continent Finally Found, the definitive localization of Plato's Lost Civilization. But most importantly, and this is the press release, I signed just recently with an Indonesian publisher to distribute the books in Bahasa, Indonesia, throughout all of Indonesia.
That would be interesting to get their reaction to this.
Yeah, and that particular publishing company is called Ufuk Publishing. And guess what? I didn't know this until actually I really signed it off. But Ufuk means horizon, okay? And not only that, but oddly enough, and I know you're into this, well, you don't believe in coincidences, and neither do we for the most part, but it's kind of funny that Professor Santos lived in a city called Belo Horizonte, and that means beautiful horizon.
There are no coincidences, Frank. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and it wasn't the only company. I mean, I said several companies do it, but I think these particular people in, of this company will do a very good job in promoting it as well. In Bahasa, Indonesia, they're going to be publishing it here just the next couple of months, and it will be available in Indonesia. And by the way, just as a sideline, we all know somebody that speaks Bahasa, Indonesia. Do you know who that is?
Who?
Well, oddly enough, and this is not necessarily endorsement, but actually our president, Barack Obama, speaks to a large degree Bahasa, Indonesia, because he lived there between.
Is he pretty fluent? Yeah. He must be with that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, now those that fled to Pakistan and India, we have long heard from ancient texts that they had flying machines in India. They were able to do that. They might have even had nuclear war.
Ah. Well, I was about to tell you about that, too. And
right.
One of these days, if you invite me back on another show, George, I want to go through this in much more detail. But the professor, as you well know, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, was a nuclear physicist.
Yes.
And a nuclear engineer, okay? So he could very well tell what a nuclear signature was because of the, you know, half-life, daughter product,
mm-hmm.
and all that
sure.
kind of thing, okay? There was a war of Atlantis between the Dravidas and the Aryans, okay?
Frank, we're going to come up to this break, but I want to get into this because this is an incredible part of the story that explains a lot as well. Frank Hoff's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. Well, next hour, we're going to take your phone calls with Frank Joseph Hoff as we talk about Atlantis. When we come right back, we shall get into this war that he talks about next on Coast to Coast AM. Let's get into the war, Frank. Tell us, what happened?
Well, the war was between the Aryan Semites and the Dravidas. And, you know, they had some disagreements, and I would have to get into that in another show on everything. But just in the short of it, and this goes with the Krakatoa volcano, is that I think somebody got the bright idea about, getting one up on the other side, okay? And so what they did, unfortunately, in a way, is they ended up dropping an atomic bomb down the Krakatoa volcano.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now, is that based on the professor's analysis?
It's analysis, but also there's been some, and this is not from us, but there's been some signatures, and occasionally we I have some documents someplace. I'd have to dig them up. Reports of, you know, picking up radiation and stuff in the area, especially in, they've had it in India and some of the, you know, areas in and around there. So this, you know, these nuclear signatures pretty much are pretty solid. They have a, you know, daughter products and things like that to show it's pretty well a nuclear signature. And he would very well know about that kind of information. You know, he could take a look at the science behind it all.
Now, this nuke that they dropped right down there, I mean, it was almost like a suicide mission, wasn't it? Because it affected all of them?
I mean, it was kind of like a bright idea that wasn't so bright, you know, in a sense, because when they dropped it down, it went off more than usual. And it was something like, I'll get the numbers out, but something like 101 megaton, or maybe it's 1,000. I'd have to take a look up the numbers. Whatever it is, it was something like 10 times the arsenal that we have on the face of the Earth. That's how big the explosion was.
Oh, my God.
Okay, between the volcano, I guess, maybe the chain reaction, whatever, with the nuclear and the volcano, the whole thing really went off. And you know what it did? It ended up ending the Pleistocene Ice Age, because what he found out is that volcanoes can not only trigger on an ice age like the Toba did, but they can potentially trigger them off, okay? And this kind of also enters into the, you know, the idea of, you know, climate change and global warming and also potentially going back to an ice age.
There are some areas in the Middle East that deep down are glass, which they claim could have been also from a nuclear explosion.
Exactly.
Did it have anything to do with the Atlantic one?
Exactly. It did indeed. In fact, actually, I got the research on that by him, and that's why we need to do another show, because that nuclear signature was clearly there.
Was it a separate attack?
It may very well have been. What it is, actually, is information. When I went down to Brazil to pick up the books, as I came across this information, and I actually haven't read, well, I did read some of it, but haven't read it in depth enough to really do speak about it right now. But I can tell you it's pretty much along the lines which you're referring to there.
Let's talk now about the Egyptians for a moment. The pyramids, did they have anything to do with the civilization on Atlantis?
Oh, yes, they did. And the reason is they called it Mount Meru, okay? It's, look at the pyramids. The Krakatoa volcano was the holy mountain of paradise, And actually, the Toba volcano, which is now Mount Dempo, which is a caldera, was called Sumeru. And Krakatoa was called Kumeru. Okay? Now, I want to get back to something here along with this question of why Atlantis is located in Indonesia and that surrounding area. And the reason is that the Pillars of Hercules, as everybody knows, has been like in the Straits of Gibraltar. But that actually is not the true Pillars of Hercules. It's an archetype or a mirror image. The true Pillars of Hercules are the Sun, the Strait, and actually are the Krakatoa and Toba volcanoes. That's the Pillars of Hercules. And actually, I'll be showing kind of a... kind of a scenario of that during the PowerPoint presentation about how that kind of looked coming in. So they were actually the pillars of heaven. Actually Atlas kind of personifies this, and that's why I need to lead into this as well, exactly why it's over in that location. And I'm sure people want to know, well, how does he know it's over there, you know? Well, the reason is that... Is the coding of the words as well, through the two dialogues, but also the word Atlantis in decoding that. And what the deal is on that is that Atlas or Atlantis is like Atlas with the mythology. It comes from the Greek, it's a Greek word, Atlantis, but it was coded in that the radix or the base. Tala means to bear. And you see these images of Atlas holding up like the world or like being one of the pillars. But also with Tala, it also, there's a is preceded as a prefix, a, which means not or not to bear. And it also means the one unable to bear. Again, this is personification, the weight of the skies. It comes from the Greek name, the Greek, which is also derived from the Sanskrit one of Hindu, that is, or Hindi, called Atala, Atala. And Atala is the Hindu hell. And actually, the Krakatoa volcano, and you've heard this word abyss, that's where it really comes from.
Right.
It means the abyss is down inside the Krakatoa volcano, okay? And also, the name Atala also is composed of a Sanskrit prefix A, like meaning not Tala, or meaning the pillar. But it's one of the pillars of heaven. It's actually what it is the Krakatoa volcano. And it's all coded in the name, and this is the rest of it that goes with it. It's in the tongue of, leading into this, of Dravida. Tala means actually earthland, and the name Atala can also be interpreted as no land. But in the actual Dravida, the word is Ata-Ala, which is the first root corresponds to Ata, and foot soles, and footsteps, and antipodes, okay? It also means sunken land. And more importantly, this whole coding means antipodal, which actually means opposite, or opposite outside the world. So in other words, what the coding really means is that Atlantis is located in the sunken land on the opposite side of the world.
If we were to send an expedition out in that region, what would we find?
Well, I'm kind of glad you mentioned that, because actually that's what we're up to doing. I know we've kind of held this off the radar, and I know the media is going to say, well, we didn't know anything about this. We actually have had three governments involved of this, okay?
Tell me more.
And we actually do have an expedition that's working on this whole thing. It also had to do with the Bay of Cambay as well, as far as bringing up artifacts there. Artifacts that I'm going to show at the presentation, at the workshop, that are somewhere between 13,000, some are 11,000, some are 9,500 years old.
Like and, pots and things like that?
Yeah, and maybe sorts of tools and things of that nature.
Huh.
We actually are going to be in communication at the conference with the expedition, and this is with both Hans and Roz Barakoven.
Is it going on now, or it's going to happen?
It's been going on, and it's going to pick up maybe some pace, too. That's another thing, too. We could probably use, or they could use some funding on that, but to be helping out. But they have a actual, and I'll show this, a 19-meter-long boat, which is like something like around 60-something feet long, yacht, okay, that's equipped with side-scan sonar. Also, they just recently got a magnetometer. They have an ROV, and what I'd like to see them get is actually a sub-bottom profiler.
Fascinating. And that's ongoing?
This is going on and has been going on underneath the radar.
Not anymore.
That's why I'm announcing it tonight, and they're also listening. And I don't know if it's all right with you, but if it's okay, I would like to see if we could get some maybe donations.
No, we don't solicit.
Yeah, okay. We need to work on getting some sponsors and working on some funding as far as that goes, and that's something
that's their job.
Yeah, I may have to do on the side or whatever, but it has been going on, and it actually what it is, it's the Sundaland Archaeology Project is what it is.
How deep do they have to go?
Well, that's the thing. What happened is on the when the Pleistocene Ice Age ended, and I can show some photos of this as well, is that the sea levels rose anywhere from 130 to 150 meters in that area, which is a shallow area, by the way. And so that's why you just see the mountaintops of the isles or islands of India, which, by the way, that's what Indonesia means. It means islands or isles of India.
Okay, and you're still convinced, though, that, and the professor was convinced, that Atlantis was basically flooded as opposed to being submerged, right?
It was an optical illusion. It did not sink.
Okay? It did not sink. Okay.
Yeah, that's where people are mistaken on it. It is actually flooded out twice, okay? And this is real interesting as well. Initially, it was a big deluge coming through, okay? Then, more or less, your universal flood is actually when sea levels rose all around the world with this melting of the of all the different glaciers and ice, which we, by the way, had on top of North America as a mile-high sheet of ice. And so all this, it took an effect and actually had a balancing effect, because when you remove a mile-high sheet of ice off a continent, you know, there's also some seismic activity that takes place. So it all had to balance out over time. And the reason that also that that ice ended up melting, they found out, is all this fly ash that went up in the air that was kind of amplifying the sun when it came down on the glaciers, okay, and melting the ice and caused it a more or less a positive, what they say in science is a positive feedback effect.
Yeah.
Okay. And this all enters into with the idea of either global warming, which, by the way, Professor Sanchez was a climatologist as well, and also, you know, going back to the Ice Age.
How many different civilizations were created from Atlantis afterwards?
Well, what they did is they made it with a lot of the indigenous populations of, you know, around the world. And they had to go, by the way, originally to this the lower latitudes because of the climate. It's still ice melting, and it wasn't inhabitable. It's a polar desert in a lot of upper latitudes. And by the way, before I totally forget, and this is the interesting part, is that on the remembrance of the Day of the Dead, okay, and we do remember that in a way, but we kind of forget what it's all about. You know about the baptism, you know, and it's done in a lot of the Christian religion.
Sure.
And in the Hindu religion. What that actually is, it goes directly back to the root of Atlantis. And what it is, it's when the water came up over people's heads. That's why you see the baptisms usually done over people's head, you know, dunking
them
under the water of the head. It's a remembrance of an honoring of the Day of the Dead, when we lost 20 million of our ancient ancestors in a day and a night. That's what the baptism all relates back to.
The great biblical flood of Noah, did that have anything to do with Atlantis?
Well, I think it probably did to a degree, and I have to get a little bit better tracking on that. But, yeah, as far as I know, it did have to do something along with that.
Okay, now we touched on just a little bit about the pyramids in Atlantis. They must have brought high technology to Egypt if they helped construct those.
Yeah, they were the civilizers, and what they reason, you know, with Meru is that and that's what the word pyramid is actually in an ancient Egyptian is called Meru. It was you know, this symbolized their holy mountain of paradise. That's why they it's not only in Egypt, but also, you know, like in maybe Central America and South America and other places, there's pyramids all around the world, even in China. Okay, so this is honored, you know, the holy mountain of paradise is what it came down to. And so they constructed them. And, you know, what happened is, too, is like, you know, not all the people that are really, really good on technology survived. You know, they had, some people made pyramids in certain fashions in one place and another because they actually got dispersed into different areas.
Sure.
So, you know, not everybody that was an absolute expert was still alive. And so they had to pass down as much knowledge as they could and disseminate it throughout, you know, the world. But, I mean, this is where agriculture was actually born. Another one, too, it's really interesting, is actually Atlantis was where gunpowder actually was really invented.
Not China. How far back? Now, you talked about, you know, the first episode, 75,000 BP.
Mm-hmm.
How far back did the civilization exist?
Oh.
Was it millions of years ago?
Yeah, I think, and I know it's several hundred thousand, but actually it may have gone back maybe as much as a couple of million.
No wonder they were so advanced.
Oh, yeah. You know, where they came or arrived from there, that's another question.
Frank, was there ever any ET influence, extraterrestrial influence with the Atlanteans?
Well, you know, I did some research for Richard Hoagland a while back.
Yeah.
And Richard's listening. I've spoken with him many times. And by the way, Richard actually spoke to Professor Santos.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Oh, yeah. But I was talking to Richard a while back about actually having an Atlantis Mars conference, perhaps in Seattle here. There may be some type of connection either between Mars or maybe some other planet where they may have come from.
Maybe originally.
Yeah. But you know what's even really also interesting about Atlantis, too, is this, before I forget, is that actually Atlantis was the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a Garden of Atlantis.
Not in Iraq or in
Indonesia.
Area.
And when you think about it, listen to this. When they find some new species in this world, okay?
It's always out there.
Most of the time, not all, but most of the time, high percentage of the time, it's in the Indonesia area.
Yeah.
Either Borneo or whatever. But a lot of it's the Flores Islands. And that's, by the way, where they found the hobbits and also like the giants.
Well, and now that brings up a good question. What kind of creatures, animals, did they have on Atlantis? Were they much different from what we have today?
Well, this is one of the things, too. You know, they had a lot of, they were also known as the Golden Peninsula because actually, and this way I'll be showing this picture, and it also shows a picture on the cover of our book on our website, or if you buy it from, purchase it from Amazon.com, by the way, it is available at Amazon, and also there's a link from our website there. But it actually connects right into the mainland of main Indo-Asian continent as well. But they actually had elephants, which are really a ferocious type and large elephants.
They attack?
During that time. Yeah, they used it for wars and whatnot, too. They're bigger than the Indian or African elephant, and so they were kind of prized to have that, you know, that particular animal in Atlantis, and that's one of the things they were known for.
And it's also too bad the most of the relics are gone in terms of skeletons, and I mean they've just, the ocean has captured it, and they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of thing, but, you know, we think that actually that, you know, remnants of Atlantis are actually beneath the silt, the fly ash beneath the ocean. It's not only that.
Probably, yeah.
But we've got, and I'll show these pictures at the workshop at the Bay Area UFO Expo. We've got this photograph from several different sources showing the continent is there without a doubt. And one of those sources is NOAA, that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has a spy satellite photo that was not available at the time that Professor Santos came up with this location. And what the amazing part is, when he drew out this map and they came up with the spy satellite photo years later, and I've got that copies of those infrareds and everything I'll be showing, they literally fit like a glove.
Good job. Frank, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Frank Hoff's website again is atlan.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com.